I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind, and if any of the issues in today's episode sound like something you'd like to discuss with me, at the end of the show, I'll let you know how you can connect with me. We also would really appreciate it if you would help others learn the tips that you hear on Smashing the Plateau. So do share this episode with your colleagues and friends, because we want you and others like you to succeed in business and in life. Today, I'm pleased to welcome two guests, Jeff Ernst and Sean Miller. I met Jeff and Sean at the C-Suite Conference in New York, and I'm really pleased to have them both on the show today. Jeff Ernst is the CEO and co-founder, and Sean Miller is the Chief Experience Officer of Smink, the social word-of-mouth marketing platform providing the toolkit for brands to foster advocate relationships that grow business. Jeff, the CEO, is a business and integrated marketing leader with over 25 years' experience in developing and managing brands from startups to Fortune 500, including over 8 years in social media marketing. Sean, the Chief Experience Officer, is an entrepreneur, investor, and advisor with over 20 years of international business experience, specializing in marketing, customer service, and training. Sean and Jeff, it's great to have you on the show today.
Great to be here.
So let's start off talking about how you got connected and decided to start Smink. Jeff, why don't you kick it off?
Sure. Sean and I have actually known each other for a very, very long time. We've known each other literally since our high school days. And went into business in various forms early on in our life, and always kind of kept in touch. And I think one of the most important things you have in business is to have people around you that you trust. It doesn't necessarily have to be your inner circle, as it will, but people who you really can trust, you can hold each other accountable and work together to overcome problems. I had actually co-founded Smink about a year and a half ago and had been working with Sean a little bit, as he had been a coach sort of for business leaders and had worked with me. And then in the opportunity came to bring Sean on as part of a team, as someone who really understood the social marketing space and what people were looking to get in the experience we were delivering, to bring him on as the Chief Experience Officer to really focus on how users are using our technology.
That's great. So you two have known each other for a long time, clearly. And Sean, I wonder what the experience has been like for you being asked to join a startup.
Oh, it's been fantastic. And yeah, I've known Jeff since eighth grade, which is a very long time. Very, very cool. And we've even done the best man thing. So we've been around for a long time. So the trust is very, very high. The thing that I think is fantastic, and I think is very relevant to the topic of smashing plateaus, is the idea that when you can, and the experience that I'm having in working in collaboration, and when you work in close collaboration with a number of people that are good at what they do and that you can trust, and you can work together on a peer-to-peer basis, and you say, this is what I need. Well, you'd be better if you did this, and that's okay to say, right? And we just work on these things in a very honest and productive manner. And I find it very freeing, and it's speeding the business up just fantastically, right? Because everybody is free and confident to execute and has the support that they need. So working closely in a collaborative team that works is really, really good. And I think a very strong point to the whole core concept of smashing plateaus. Some people are really buttoned up against the wall trying to do things on their own, and they would be far advanced to be in collaboration with some people that they know, like, and trust.
Sean, have you collaborated in the past with Jeff on anything that's business related?
Yeah, we've stuck our nose into all sorts of things over the years, and that's it's always been fun and fruitful.
That's good. And Jeff, from your perspective, Have there been any collaborations like you and Sean are now describing that haven't worked so well?
Oh, absolutely. And those come, you know, as someone who's been a part of multiple startups and things like that, there are many times where those things don't work. I mean, I've had them as well where, you know, depending on how many people are involved, if, you know, certain levels of commitment, certain objectives, if they don't have the ability to really, you know, be open to change criticism or working together to a greater goal, there are plenty of them that do. And I mean, I, on a daily basis, I'm in a community in Chicago, a big startup community called 1871, which has about 450 startups, you know, in a very, you know, unique space. And you hear of these sorts of, you know, falling out all the time where people start with one vision, but somewhere along the line, those things don't align. And that's where success and failure and either the ability to overcome those or the failure not being able to happens.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the warning signs? And when do you know when it's time to pull the plug?
You know, I've had to do that in the past. And really what it is, you know, you need to be able to look at it, you know, very methodically and say, this is what the business is supposed to achieve. And if we're not getting there and those steps can't happen and you try to find ways, and you really should, because you'll work better with more than just yourself pushing an idea forward. But at a certain point, if you're looking and you cannot get certain even baby steps along the way towards, you know, where the business is supposed to go, you've got to realize and either have the hard, you know, decision to say, okay, this is something we have to do differently, or people have to change roles, or else, you know, we don't want to have you necessarily a part of this because you're not really fitting into where the vision is. You know, I've been in it and it's damn hard. I'm actually right now, you know, I've helped someone else recently through that process that almost requires a support group, because you get so emotionally invested into your startup. You have it. It is your baby. Everything you have is on the line and you pour heart and soul into it. And when one part of that doesn't work, you know, you feel lost and you're not sure how to extricate yourself from something you're so emotionally invested into, instead of, you know, sort of standing strong and saying, this is the goal, this is the vision, and this has to get down to these steps happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Hey, David.
Yeah,
just
yes, John.
Real quick, I just add to that. I think it's a good idea to, with some regularity, to step away as much as you can from your business and consider it as an investor, right? Because you are an investor in the business, right? And if you step back for a minute and consider it from that perspective, then, you know, to the extent that you can separate the emotional trouble, right, you can make a decision, you know, as Jeff says, about people changing roles or somebody coming in or somebody exiting. And the only really you can look at that is, well, what's my return on investment going to be? How can I maximize the return on my investment, you know, using these resources? And if that means we need to make changes, then we make changes, right?
Right. So, Sean, have you had an experience where you've actually done that with the business that you were running, where you stepped back and viewed the business as an investor?
I do that as a matter of habit. That's something that I have learned as a self-employed person. Some good mentor along the way, no doubt, taught me that. I can't tell you who at this point, but that idea, and I do it regularly. You know, let's look at the financials. Let's look at what's going on here, and let's consider this as an investor, and let's make decisions from that standpoint. And that's a different perspective than, you know, the one who's managing the operations.
And how frequently do you do it, and do you do it with somebody helping you to make sure that you're being objective?
Both. I also work with a specific coach and with advisors that help me with those things. And I think the cadence that is determined by the type of the business, right? I think Smink, for example, is a very, very rapid growing startup business. That's, you know, the growth is unbelievable. So that requires a more frequent look, perhaps even monthly, given the growth rate, versus, say, I own a physical retail business, an example, and that is very, very stable and it's been around for a long time. So perhaps you look at that quarterly.
Right, right. And Jeff, what do you do with your support group? How does it help you?
You know, sort of the same element where, you know, Sean and I and, you know, Kevin, my other co-founder in the group, you know, we've got sort of a good group and good trust amongst us internally. But same thing, I have those that I have found outside of me that I have to, you know, at least on almost a monthly basis, I'll have a check in with people who I consider to be outside business experts. And just to make sure that my compass is true north on top of it. You know, in building a startup and building a team around you, one of the best things you can do is have people who have specific areas. I mean, we've got, you know, our chief technical officer, we've got Sean as our experience officer. We've got other people on the team doing other things specifically. But, you know, in my role, sort of try to tie it all and lead it all together, you know, I've got to make sure at some point that, you know, even within the group and the good collaboration, I have to have someone outside of it giving me that voice of reason as well. And I've got people I trust in that regard too, that you really, it's one of those things that for me has always been very, very hard to learn is I don't know how to put it otherwise, but I was always one of those kids that was very book smart, which I think has its pros and cons. Pros is you think that you can learn things from the books or learn things in a certain way, and so you don't have to necessarily have outside counsel as much. And that is a traumatic flaw as far as that goes, because really you need to have that, and you need to always be teachable, coachable, and learning and find those other voices of experts to help you do that.
So now I'm really interested in hearing both of your opinions about the kind of outside help that is useful. If you are, like the two of you are, involved in a company that has multiple leaders, and you may have had experience doing this in much larger companies that have multiple teams, you know, and many, many employees, when you have multiple leaders who are making decisions collaboratively about the future of the business, when do you go individually to outsiders for support and guidance? And do you go to collectively to the same outside resources for support? Do you go individually to different resources for support? Do you go to individuals outside for support or groups outside for support? What's been your experience? And Jeff, why don't you start?
You know, I believe it sort of depends on the situation, and I, you know, Sean has as well, but I've worked with anything from, you know, startups of one to a few people to having been part of Fortune 500 organizations where, you know, those tend to become, you know, as the old, you know, corporate culture jokes of like Dilbert and things like that came along. I mean, you basically had everyone fighting for their piece of a budget pie and, you know, other pieces to make their department look good and anything else to do things the way they wanted. And the big scope of it and a grand vision is very much a hard thing that comes across. And that's where having, you know, at all points, not only a strong leader who has the vision, but also, you know, that key part of a leader being to get people to understand and collaborate with them on the vision and not follow me, but hey, let's all get in this together and go. But when it comes to outside people, I really think that, you know, maybe on an annual basis, that's a great thing to help someone help you collaboratively guide sort of strategic talks, if you will. I've been parts of companies where I thought that was very positive, where once a year, everyone from every department got together that was in that leadership role, and you had more or less a facilitator helping you understand and communicate so that you all bought into it at one time. But other than that, I would say it requires some form of disjoint in an interim basis to really need that.
So a single outside facilitator for a group of leaders within a company is good to do once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And how about individually, do you go outside to get your own individual support or your own group support?
You know, I would lean towards, you know, individual support a little bit, just in the instance that I think everyone has to have an outside voice and they need someone ensuring that they're doing things. And there's always, no matter what, with inside a group, there's always that different set of circumstances and objectives. And you just want to make sure that almost an unbiased source is helping you provide, providing you some guidance. So I think having someone outside yourself is a good thing at any time, and it just needs to be someone who you trust is experienced, has the best interest, has actually the business acumen to give you an informed voice, and consult with those people as often as you feel you need to ensure that you're not, when it comes into being inside of your company, that you can all of a sudden, if you don't have an outside perspective, you may just be pushing your objectives that could be, too narrow-sighted.
And Sean, what have you found for yourself in terms of getting support when you have felt stuck, or maybe just as a routine from either an outside individual or outside groups?
Yeah, and both. I think that that idea of being stuck to me at this point is unacceptable. I've experienced it. I didn't enjoy it. I don't want to do that anymore. So I try to make sure that I'm, in the position to be, clear about what I want and moving forward on that at all times. So I have a coach that I pay to work with personally. And that would include my goals with Smink and my other entrepreneurial goals. And so, Jeff wouldn't have any concern about, me doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to make sure that I'm accountable even, outside of that group, right, to somebody that's pushing me and making sure that stuff is done. But I also have both people in an advisory role of various expertise and personality, and I also have a small business owners round table group, a group of other business leaders, because it's people that have jobs. It's really, really hard for them to understand what it's like to be self-employed. So I have a group of self-employed people, guys, and we've met together on a monthly basis now for many, many years. And that's very, very helpful to all of us.
Mm-hmm. And how did you first get started with this business owners roundtable?
That was actually, that was originally put together by my local chamber of commerce. And it's one of the best things that they ever did. And they facilitated the connecting of those groups. They gave us a facilitator for about 6 months, and then he said, "You guys are fine," and he released us on our own. And we've been meeting now, I guess, for almost 10 years, if I can say that. It's unbelievable to say that, but yes, almost 10 years.
Wow. And has the membership in the group changed over the 10 years?
It has a little bit. We've had a couple of people that have successfully exited businesses or retired or what have you, and things have happened and they've been able to move, and we've recruited replacements, but it's been quite stable.
So I wonder what you maybe could both advise our listeners if they are thinking about a support group, because you've now both mentioned different kinds of support groups. Jeff, you mentioned the group 1871 that has 450 startups. Sean, you've mentioned your business owners roundtable group. What would you advise somebody who would like to explore being in some kind of group situation to support their leadership journey? Jeff, why don't you start?
I would absolutely encourage it. And I, going back to the 1871 community that I'm a part of here in Chicago, they also have literally, I want to say it's to the point of being, it's into the hundreds, if not thousands of hours a month given by mentors, sort of an open office hours for every element of your business. And it's been tremendously helpful at missing many pitfalls that would have happened otherwise, from anything from legal to finance to accounting to all those things, where you can find very much what would have been, $900 an hour lawyers otherwise, and get that sort of expertise. But if you can find a way into a group or a business networking group, or, most communities now have some form of community that you can access groups through Meetup or something like that, absolutely do so. It is definitely, when it says innovator die is always a lot of a common theme for people, but collaborator die tends to be one of them as well. And that includes getting knowledge from outside sources.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff, for somebody who doesn't know where to start, how would you suggest trying to find such a group?
You know, to me, the first thing I would look is if you're in any city right now, there usually is going to be an incubator space of some form. And those really, you know, thrive on having people and events and things around it because they have to build that sense of community to succeed. So I would look towards an incubator in your city, wherever that might be, and see if you can get involved with some of their events and groups.
That's great. And Sean, what advice do you have for somebody to try to find such a group?
Well, I think, you know, we all think we're pretty special, but there's generally somebody that's done, you know, something similar or a little bit better than we have. And if we put forth a little bit effort, we can find some of those people, right? And ask for a little bit of their time and ask for some introductions from them. And in my experience, if we're brave enough to, you know, brave and humble enough at the same time to do that, people are quite willing to lend a little time and help somebody out.
It sounds good. So I know one of the things in business, and in particular trying to smash the plateau, is overcoming something that causes a lot of fear and trepidation to get started on something new. I wondered if one or both of you might have an experience you'd be willing to share about how you overcame something that seemed quite troubling at the time but turned out to work out really well once you got over the fear and got started.
I can start with it, I guess, as far as that goes.
Go ahead, Jeff.
First thing is when it comes to fears, first off, I don't know if for the first 44 years of my life, if I ever admitted I had them. And that is a big problem of a lot of things, as whatever you want to say, as cliche as it is, admitting you have these fears is really sort of a first step. You know, I always found ways to almost sabotage myself or limit my success because I maybe was afraid for personal reasons, be it, you know, was I deserving of it? Was there something the other way? Was I the right person to make this happen? Even though I had the vision of my success, I never felt myself personally that I was really worthy of it. And so I would find ways to derail that because I was afraid of it. And in that regard, I mean, it took people, you know, in me sort of learning that about myself and what that is. And the first step in identifying the fact that, wait a minute, I really am. And these are the things I'm doing and changing that behavior, you know, self-awareness, understanding, making things simple towards achieving your goals, becomes really important. I mean, and Sean is frankly one of those people that when he was helping me in a coaching capacity, you know, helped me understand that. In that there was this thing that, you know, I always had these things that I put in front of me and I wasn't able or willing to call them fears.
Hmm. And once you got to the point where you were able to call them fears, what was the result?
The results have been tremendous. You're at that point, once you're able to identify why you're doing, you know, sort of the dumb crap that you do, at that point, then I can understand that, wait a minute, this is something that if I take these steps and I break it down to these simple things, I can actually achieve what I want to without the things in the way that essentially cause churn or loss of time, apathy, whatever it might be, whatever roadblocks you put in your way, you're doing that because you want to stay where you're comfortable. And comfort might be that station that you're currently in. And once you do that, go, wait a minute, I can take these steps to overcoming fear. I can simply say, these are the goals. These are the steps I have to take on a daily basis to reach this. And when I get there, I deserve it. That can make all the difference in the world, and it has for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, would you be willing to share one example of something you've accomplished once you got over the fear?
One example I got of in overcoming the fear is actually when I founded Smink, or was the co-founder of Smink, I was actually in the role of chief operating officer. And at a certain point I should have, based on the things that I was doing in the business itself, it was apparent to everyone else around me that I should have been in that role and was really driving the vision and objectives. But there was a fear of me actually doing that. And working with a co-founder that at the time we just had, due to a lot of things, you know, a physical difference in location. We were working remotely and things like that versus where the business was happening. Me actually believing that I was the right person for that role has changed really the trajectory of the company and where it's gone.
Wow. So the right belief in yourself can be very powerful.
Absolutely. And you need to understand why you're limiting yourself to start with. And, you know, while I've always had that in my mind, I'd always found some reason to hold me back. And it's one of those things that everyone else, it does, you know, in anything in life, people can say everything they want to about you, but until you believe it yourself, it won't happen. And eventually I had people telling me around me enough that said, you know, hey, this is where the business, this is the right thing. And I went, you know what? These are the steps. This is what's holding me back. Am I actually ready, aware, prepared, all these things for it, despite all the experience I've had? But is this the step I wanted to take? And eventually believing that, yes, you do.
That's very powerful. Thanks for sharing that. And Sean, how about for you? Have you had an experience where the fear has been holding you back and you finally overcame it and you catapulted forward?
Sure. Absolutely. And I'll just take one that's really simple, because I think a lot of things, you know, we choose to do things on a very simplistic basis that get in our way. And you know, we met in the context, David, of this book launch, right? So I wrote this book, and to be honest, when I got writing a book and publishing is quite a thing, is the way I can only describe it. It's a big freaking project. But the thing that struck me somewhere along the line of being ready to the equivalent of hit publish, I kind of said, well, this is really permanent, right? It's one thing for me to publish a tweet or say something on a video that I can just take back or delete or goes away. It's an entirely other thing to publish this physical thing that says, I think this, right? And I had a little fit of perfectionism that came as a result of the fear of putting out this thing that was so permanent. And it took some encouragement and some support for me to actually then get that finished. And it probably took 2 months longer than it needed to get it actually done while I was making sure things were just freaking fantastically perfect that didn't need to be, just because of, well, wait a minute. What if people don't like this, right? What if people write bad reviews? What if they don't? What if they disagree? Well, I can't just delete it, right?
Right. There is definitely more of a stake in the ground with a book than there is with a tweet.
There is.
But for somebody who's never tweeted before, a tweet can seem very intimidating.
It sure could. Yep.
Yeah, that's a great example. So thank you both for sharing those. And I wondered if we could perhaps focus on somebody else and talk about whom you might know personally who's done a remarkable job of smashing the plateau. Sean, why don't you start?
Sure. Well, you know, this comes to mind because we just mentioned the C-suite conference in New York, and I think, you know, that's a Jeffrey Hazlett event. And I think if you consider someone who came from a if you consider Jeffrey and where he came from in a very, you know, old school business, industry, in a place that was really, you know, being an officer's position of a sinking ship, right?
Right. Yeah. For those who don't know, Jeffrey Hazlett was the chief marketing officer of Kodak.
Sure.
And he was responsible indirectly for us getting connected.
Exactly. So, you know, you're standing at the helm of the sinking ship and, you know, to take that as an opportunity and leap forward and, you know, grab, you know, use that as a what some might be ashamed of that story, right? Where Jeffrey told a different story, put the focus on a different place and turned it into a different personal branding story, right? And extradited himself from the corporate shenanigans and went off and started something that he wanted to do and elevated his strength and his personality, used his personal brand and his specific personality. And I think Jeffrey's a great example of somebody who's who's done that and now is taking that to much higher levels.
Right. And this, having Jeffrey as a guest on Smashing the Plateau and getting to know him a little bit, I can certainly attest to the fact that he's done a remarkable job of smashing that plateau. That's a great example. So thank you. Jeff, whom do you know who's done a great job at smashing the plateau?
You know, actually, of all things, I guess we should have collaborated on it a bit more, because Jeffrey was going to be my example of that. But in the end, I'm surrounded by it every day, you know, where I'm at in Chicago with the entrepreneurial ecosystem that it is here. And I think I look at people like Howard Tolman here at who is the CEO of 1871, who's really taken the lead at making, you know, Chicago sort of the you know, a shining star to grow a tech economy by bringing in private partnerships, by being a public face of it, by being someone who is connecting these communities and growing this and helping build an ecosystem around it. And you look at the energy that he has for a man who really at this point in his life and his career could be very content to just sit back on the wealth that he's accumulated by this point, but to really be the face of a community to help others smashing that. And despite the, you know, people always saying, and Peter Thiel was here in Chicago, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, talking about if you're really talented, that you either need to be in New York or Silicon Valley, and Chicago going, no, that's not true. And by the way, we're the top rated accelerator incubator space in the world. And the community that he's built around that is a great example of someone who's just finding ways to do it differently and not accept the status quo.
That's a great example. So now turning back to SMINC and what you guys are doing, why don't we close out the show by telling our listeners a little bit about what you're up to and what may be coming up in the near future. Sean, do you want to take this one?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you mentioned the, you know, up front that SMINC is a social word of mouth platform, right? And so it's obvious that people, well, what the heck does that mean, right? Well, the idea is that the word of mouth and that direct recommendation or reference from one person to another person or to a small group of people that they already know, like, and trust is, you know, without question, the most powerful form of marketing. And it is as old as, you know, hey, this apple's pretty good, you should try it, right? This is a word of mouth recommendation from Genesis, right? So this idea is pretty old. It's been around a long, long time. But with the social network that we have today and the literally, you know, all the time integration of our mobile device and our social network and those types of interaction that we have with each other via these real-time, you know, mobile device integrated social platforms means there's no time and space to that, and there's no separation from any aspect of anybody's customer experience from their social sharing, right? These are the same. So their customer service, your customer service as a company, their customer experience as a person, and their in what they talk about then in the social space to people who know them, like them, and trust their opinions, they're inseparable. So that therein lies a tremendous opportunity, and an opportunity for businesses to change the mindset of how they interact with their customers, and invite them to have a new type of relationship. And the new type of relationship is one of co-creation, one of community between the customer and the company. So the company sees them as a great asset. They see them, they work together with them. And that relationship, which SMINC helps to ignite, puts the customer in a place of being connected and empowered and engaged with that business in a way that they want to advocate for them or to do word of mouth activity. And the reason they want to do this is because they want to help their friends and family. It's very, very natural for us to do that. So in a world where we're, you know, a little bit overwhelmed, we're a little bit, you know, we've never had so much distrust and frustration between business and companies, between employees and employers, between supply chains and customers, the antithesis of that is our desire to help each other, you know, it's, it becomes our responsibility to help one another find companies that can be trusted and that don't suck and that we should do business with. So Smink helps the business to create a platform of community with those customers and to communicate with them and invite them to be a part of the marketing of the company. And the customers then, in turn, will just by their nature, will spread the word in a very authentic and powerful way about that relationship and about that company, and in a way that will drive business in unlike any, you know, advertiser marketing platform that we could even devise.
It certainly sounds very powerful. And tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, the book is called The New Face of Your Brand, subtitled Social Brand Advocacy Grows Business with Customer Community and Co-Created Marketing. And the cover of that is a flower, and the flowers in the picture are the profile pictures of your customers. And the faces of those people become the face of your brand instead of the, you know, the big corporate logo, right? And it's just a different way of thinking. It's a change from an us versus them type mindset with your customers to a mindset of co-creation. And the book is set up, I'm a trained trainer, David. I've been training in business most of my career. It's just natural to me. So the book is set up in the same way that I would organize a one-day intensive workshop in which you want to understand this concept, know what to do about it, and be able to execute it. And we've set the book up just in that very straightforward format. So it's very simple, it's very clear, and it's a very straightforward format. How do we understand this idea of advocacy? How do we make it happen in our company? And how can we use Smink to turn it on, make it go faster, and to function well? And how can we get this done in the shortest, least painful time?
Sounds great. And Jeff, how can listeners learn more about what you're both doing, what you're doing with Smink and the book?
Mm-hmm. You know, you can find us at smink.com, and people always ask about the spelling of it. It's S-M-Y-N-C. We named it, we sort of mashed the word social media and the word sync together. So that's where they can find us, at smink.com. And then also they can find the book on Amazon and just search for The New Face of Your Brand. And it's there both in Kindle and in paperback. But you can find us anywhere, anytime via that way or via the social channels. Usually GhostSmink is us on social.
Sounds great. Well, Jeff and Sean, thank you so much for a really fascinating discussion about your own journey, how people can get the kind of support they need to smash the plateau, and also what you are both up to with regard to your book, your company, and how people can leverage social relationships to do a better job accomplishing their mission in business and in life. So thank you for coming on the show today. My guests today have been Jeff Ernst, the CEO and co-founder, and Sean Miller, Chief Experience Officer of Smink, the social word-of-mouth marketing platform. Thank you again, Jeff and Sean, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.